Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, starting May 6th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Welcome back to the show. My name's Matt.
It's me, Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deckett. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. And that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. It is the most wonderful time of the year if you're listening to this episode as it comes out today, Conspiracy Realist. Happy Halloween.
Yes, the spookables are all around you.
Spookables?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that like Lunchables?
That's what my son calls them.
Really?
That's a great name.
Spookables.
That's a great name. And it's a little bit, I like how it has a little bit more edge than something being simply spoopy, right? You've probably heard that too.
Spoopy?
Spoopy. It's like cute spooky.
Oh, nice. Yeah, he's into the real deal, legit spookable stuff.
I don't know if I told you guys, I've been watching like R-rated 80s horror movies with my 10-year-old daughter.
Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. No, it's fine. It's just like mainly we watch the first two Child's Play movies because they're just hilarious. They're only rated R because of some slightly bad language, but like she kids at her school use those words and she knows not to use them in mixed company. But we've had a really good time. And last night after she went to bed, I watched My Bloody Valentine. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
It's about a crazed miner in Ontario, Canada, and it's the most Canadian horror movie I've ever seen in my life.
As in M, like miner?
M-I-N-E-R.
Miners, okay. Yeah. Coal miners. Yeah.
Wow.
And I actually got in a conversation, Matt, with your wife a few weeks or a month or so back where I was thinking, I've got some books that I think Matt's kid will love. And I think I told you this. She told me, I was worried that maybe, because I don't know what kids read, I was worried that maybe the books would be like too scary, you know, like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, probably want to wait a few years on that one or something, or Amphigory. But her reply was, he already has so many books.
Yeah, he certainly does.
Well, let him know when, well, you guys let me know when it is appropriate to send him the creepy stuff. Because I think when we're kids, we all have this fascination to one degree or another with things that scare us, right? With things that make our heartbeat race, things that make us mistake a pile of clothes in the dark for an evil figure crouching closer to the bed. And one of the biggest, surprisingly common fears in the Western world is something called coulrophobia. That's our word for the day. That means the fear of clowns. This is a pretty recent word. It comes about in the 1990s, but it describes a long-standing, arguably ancient unease that is doubtlessly familiar to many of our fellow listeners. Clowns are a little bit different here in the U.S. because we live in a post-Gacy environment. John Wayne Gacy, the notorious, infamous serial murderer who also had a reputation or an alternate identity as a clown, this affected the cultural zeitgeist in a number of ways, and it has consequences, ripple effects that remain with us today. Matt, you and I believe, were at, was it the Museum of Crime or Murder in D.C.?
Yeah, and we saw actual Pogo the Clown suits, which was his alter ego.
Oh, and at the Museum of Death in Hollywood, they have several of his paintings that he did of himself as a clown, and his shoes are there as well.
And this calls to mind another episode we did on the controversy surrounding serial killer memorabilia and art, which, you know, I listened back to a while ago, and I got to say, objectively, not that bad.
Not bad at all. I can't remember who I heard say this. Gosh, and I think it's an interesting point, though. The idea that killers should not be publicized. Their identity should not be publicized because then it allows them to profit off of their crimes. I think that's an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm. Especially in cases of terrorism where someone simply wants to be a martyr for a cause. But back to clowns. So because – at least partially because of John Wayne Gacy, but probably because of some other long-standing, hardwired psychological quirks in our brains, people from all walks of life, especially here in these United States, are pretty comfortable nowadays being upfront and transparent about their fear of or distrust of clowns. People have no problem saying, I don't like clowns, I'm not going to see it, et cetera, et cetera. This is a cultural phenomenon. It's not necessarily a global attitude. In a lot of other countries, clowns are these beloved figures of fun and festivity. Like in Central America, you know the parade is really popping when a gang of clowns comes in. I don't know what the group name for clowns is. You know how there's like a Parliament of Owls and Unkindness of Ravens?
A Murder of Clowns.
A Murder of Clowns, a Car of Clowns, a Honk of Clowns. I like Murder of Clowns. So here in the U.S., the fear of clowns eventually, not too long ago, reached a boiling point. It became a national and then international panic. Here are the facts. Our story today starts on August 1st, 2016, in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Five photos of what appeared to be a creepy clown surfaced. This clown was wandering, literally wandering around a parking lot under a bridge somewhere in Green Bay. And this went viral thanks to the internet. We can only conjecture that it must have been a slow news cycle because the pictures got national media attention. Fox News was all over it. USA Today was all over it. Eventually, the New York Times was writing about this. Shortly after August 5th, a Facebook page pertaining to the pictures or purporting to pertain to the pictures surfaced, and they said, the name of this clown is Gags, G-A-G-S. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it wasn't just any clown. It looked to be someone who was purposefully trying to be creepy, right? Because the character, this person, whoever was wearing all of this makeup and everything, it wasn't like your cutesy clown makeup. There's an edge to it that appeared to be sinister in some way. And I believe it was what the character was holding balloons.
Yes.
Yeah. Nah.
not your vibe, huh? That's not a look you're going for. Yeah, it's a very good point, Matt. It was purposefully done up like a scary Halloween clown. You know what I mean? Not like a fun Welcome to McDonald's clown, which I would argue is also still pretty creepy. Here's what happens. Numerous pundits speculate on this story, and because there is not very much in the way of solid factual reporting here, there's just not much to the story other than these five creepy pictures and a Facebook page at this point. Pundits are going wild. They're saying, what's going on here? Is this a childish prank? Is this a lone, unhinged lunatic? Is this part of something larger? We'll get back to that, but first, here's Carol with the weather, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or is it an attempt at guerrilla marketing? And it turned out that our story gets sewed up in a pretty, I would say, relieving way.
So 8 days later, a filmmaker by the name of Adam Krauss actually came forward and revealed that this was nothing but a marketing stunt. He and his crew were actually filming a short piece called Gags the Clown. And Bloody Disgusting, which is a horror blog, quoted Krauss as saying, "We filmed the short in secret and released photos of the sightings, quote, because I wanted to convince my town that there was a creepy clown wandering the streets late at night. We released the pictures August 1st, 2016, and it blew up. From that point on, it went viral very quickly. I announced that it was just a short film 8 days later, but that didn't stop the craze from kicking into high gear." What do you guys think? Is this a form of terrorism? Like, is it – should there be some burden of responsibility on an individual like this that is doing something that is legitimately terrorizing a town?
There's not a way to make it illegal.
Yeah, I was going to say, according to Captain Kevin Warwick, W-A-R-Y-C-H, of the Green Bay Police Department, where this was first occurring, where Gags made the appearances and the Facebook group started and everything, he said, "This person is not breaking the law. He can walk in a clown costume anywhere he wants."
You can't call it like menacing or something like that? Like what point does something become menacing? I know that's a crime.
If someone's loitering or if someone is giving the reasonable – if there's reasonable suspicion or that they would be about to commit a crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's tough to prosecute. I don't want to lose this part though, because Krauss did say, "This is for my film."
Yeah, after it was like known or whatever.
Yeah. And it's just like every time we see a red meat headline in the news, only to see it corrected on like page 32 of the next issue of the paper, or thrown in at the very end in fine print on a website for a broadcast news mm-hmm. show. People just don't care about the retractions. And there we go. All's well that ends well, right? This wasn't the first time viral marketing had fooled unsuspecting denizens of the internet or the media. Shout out to Blair Witch Project, which I think is one of the most famous recent examples. But those clown sightings did not stop in Green Bay, Wisconsin. In fact, they escalated, kind of the way that, one of my favorite songs, "In the Hall of the Mountain King," escalates. Dun, 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 dun.
And things really did get weirder after that, because it inspired people, but it also made those creative juices flow about what could I do that would be even creepier.
So we're going to pause here for our usual ad break. This one is a little different today because, Matt, you and I were thinking about this. We're talking about this great clown panic, but one of today's sponsors is addressing a more personal panic that occurs to a lot of dudes around their 30s, right?
You know, Ben, we've been talking about people panicking mm-hmm. about things that are out there in the world that may or may not be real. We're going to explore it a little more as we continue the episode, but something that is very real for a lot of men out there is the fear and panic involved with losing your hair.
That's right, Matt. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they reach 35. But there's good news. With today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss. You've heard of Keeps.
Yeah, I have. And it's really cool because you used to have to go to the doctor and talk to somebody and say, you know, hey, I think I'm dealing with this. What can we do? But thanks to Keeps, you don't have to physically go and visit a doctor. You can see one online. You can get medication delivered directly to your home. You don't have to go through, you know, what could be the embarrassment of waiting in a room around with other people. You'll get the attention you want from a doctor and discreet drug delivery, all from the comfort and privacy of your own space.
That's right. Yeah, just like clown attacks. Prevention is key here. And the thing about Keeps is that this really, no smoke, works. It's up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. So the sooner you start using something like this, the more hair you'll save. And if you act fast, you'll get better results. A lot of people experience hair regrowth with Keeps, meaning they don't just keep the hair they had, but they generate the hair they used to have.
So while you're sitting there, wherever you are, either peering out a window or looking, you know, down the alleyways in fear of all those clowns that may be lurking with their black balloons, menacingly so, find out right now on your phone why Keeps has more five-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 other men already trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication.
And whether you are on your phone or not, there's no need to take our word for it. Don't delay. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/conspiracy to receive your first month of treatment for free.
Yes, because Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month. And for a limited time, you can get your first month for free.
That's KEEPS.com/conspiracy.
Again, that's KEEPS.com/conspiracy. Now let's get back to those clowns.
Here's where it gets crazy. That's right. Clown sightings began to pop up all around the country, and they were unrelated to the short film from Wisconsin. The next widely reported creepy clown sightings occurred in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yeah, on August 21st, 2016, there was an alleged clown sighting in Greenville at the Fleetwood Manor apartment complex. When I was originally reading this, I was really wishing it was at the Fleetwood Mac concert. That would have been cool. But no, in this complex, children reported witnessing clowns or a group of clowns, a murder of clowns. Is that what we decided on? Mm-hmm. A gaggle of clowns attempting to whisper or talk to the children. Now, that's got to be not cool, right? Come on.
It's so strange because at this point the image and the role of a clown has been relegated to things like children's parties. Still, that's where you will maybe find a clown, or maybe at the circus or the rodeo
or a swingers club.
Maybe a swingers club or in my basement, but wherever it is.
But culturally we've like flipped the script where now I think people first and foremost think of clowns as creepy demon child eaters as opposed to, you know, friendly child performers.
We do, but again, like if you can go online right now and hire a clown to do a children's party. That is one of the main things you can do. So if there are clowns out in, let's say, an apartment complex somewhere talking to kids, if you're not aware of some kids' party that's happening, maybe that's all it is. True. I'm just saying it's tough because it also creeps me out personally, and I wouldn't like it if my son was there and saw some clowns that were trying to whisper to him.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing of what they were whispering, and the children told their parents of the clowns, who, by the way, were set up with these flashing green laser lights. They told the children they lived in an abandoned house in the woods near a small lake.
As you do.
Uh-huh.
Small talk conversation.
Yeah. See, that's where it becomes terrifying.
Right.
And the police did investigate. And they did find a trail in the nearby woods, and the trail did lead to a house. There was a small lake by the house, but at this point, no evidence of clowns nor any evidence of clown paraphernalia was ever found. So there wasn't even a bottle of seltzer or anything.
That is so funny to me. No evidence of clowns was discovered.
I love or paraphernalia.
Yeah, paraphernalia. Like I love the notion of clown paraphernalia.
Like there's one size 16 shoe.
Yeah.
Just on the trail. And this is strange because it's we have to think of the children in the complex, and then we have to think of their families too. Yeah. What do you do when the police throw up their hands and say, well, we couldn't find any clowns or clown paraphernalia.
Yeah, you know? But we'll be patrolling, I guess, for the next couple days. Mm-hmm.
We'll keep an eye out. South Carolina, though, is far from a unique case. Over the next few months, reports of creepy, suspicious, sketch clowns popped up in every single U.S. state and Puerto Rico as well. The Guardian was following this story. They had some great articles on this. They describe it thusly. They say clowns began to terrorize children and sometimes attack people, while commentators spoke of panic and hysteria. In Pennsylvania, a teenager was reported to have been murdered by someone in a clown mask, although police later said it was the victim who had the mask. So still, in this time of panic, just having a clown mask in play during the crime is enough for this to be lumped into the same phenomenon of reporting.
Yeah, and you can see here where if something goes viral enough anywhere in the world and it gets shared enough on, let's say, international social media or internationally accessible social media, it's kind of what we've been talking about. You can see where people will think, oh, well, how do I make a post or something? Or how do I make something happen in my local town that's also going to get me or this famous through my post? Because it really did go fully international after that.
Yeah, that's the thing. The spark was lit. All in all, people in 18 different countries other than the U.S. started reporting clown sightings over the course of 2016. And these were, you know, it's weird because we know the panic in the U.S. has a discrete start date. It's August 1st, 2016. But we also see some preceding attacks or similar instances in Europe. In 2013, there was a creepy clown sighted in Northampton, England. And these sightings occurred in the town for 2 months, September and October. They were also the work of filmmakers, but the stuff that we see happening after the U.S. panic catches fire internationally, this stuff is genuine, like, crime. In Ontario and Canada, people dressed up as clowns and were chasing children when they got dismissed from school. And then someone dressed as a clown was chasing down a group of people in Chile with a baseball bat. People started using clown makeup and clown mask as a go-to disguise in their criminal endeavors.
Yeah, I was reading a story about in Norway, people were reporting that they would see weapon-wielding clowns chasing cars and stuff. And apparently it really did catch on in a couple of places in Scandinavia.
Yeah, in Sweden on October 12th, there was someone dressed as a clown who stabbed a teenage boy with a knife. And there were some other stabbings across the world. Luckily, these appeared to be isolated incidents. Here's the thing, though. The international community reacted pretty strongly to this. There was a protest held by professional clowns in Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil. And here, I believe it's time for us to make a note. In the interest of fairness, we have to say hashtag not all clowns. There's a huge industry of people who work professionally as clowns, you know, in circus trained, Academy dell'Arte trained. And these folks have no interest in committing crimes, you know what I mean? And they certainly don't want to be saddled with the stereotype. They want to say, you know, it's a job for them. They're not going to dress up and wait in the woods to clown at children in the dark. That would be like us waiting in the woods and then podcasting at people. Hopefully less scary, way more nerdy.
Yeah, I mean, no, you're right. It's a profession, and in a lot of times, in a lot of cases, a passion for the individual. And there's a quote here from this article in SputnikNews.com, and it says, "This trend has a really unpleasant impact on us as professionals of this art. I and my colleagues in this state appear at various events, for example, at birthday celebrations, and when we go out in the street or arrive at these celebrations, people are looking at us strangely." And you can imagine how that would affect you. And it goes on to say, "This has started to affect me. Customers are canceling work, replacing clowns with something else. This is one of the oldest professions in the world. Our goal is to bring joy to everybody from babies to 100-year-olds.
And this is only one example of a larger global response. On October 12th of 2016, the Russian embassy in London put out an official warning to UK citizens and Russians alike because of the clown scare. So a country's State Department said, okay, if you're here in London, watch out for clowns.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm trying to think of what it's akin to. Like an orange alert, watch out for smog kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. We need a clown watch.
The terror watch that we had for a while there.
Like how many honks is it? You know, watch out. London is a four-honk city.
Oof.
So out of context, that probably sounds very strange. But it's a good question, you know. This reached state actor level, and then also private industry responded. There were shops in New Zealand that stopped selling clown costumes or banned it. Many schools banned clown costumes.
Or just, yeah, clown-like stuff, too.
Right, yeah. And this also, remember, this is 2016, so this occurs hand-in-hand with public recognition of the music fan base, right? The Insane Clown Posse fans known as Juggalos.
Yes.
Who also, by the way, did not have a big part in this. Because again, hashtag not all clowns.
Yeah.
So in October, though, this starts to also hit one of the most popular clowns in the United States. Ronald McDonald is sent to the bench by his fast food owners because the heat got to him. He had to get a low profile. It was too hot for Ron. So he left the public eye for a little while because the last thing McDonald's wanted to be associated with was, you know, being bad in any way for children, other than, of course, the food at McDonald's.
Hey, they've changed their game a little bit. Come on.
And those fries, still, man, they're great. The fries
are great. Oh, and honestly, as weird as it sounds, those Chicken McNugs. I'm telling you.
You think it's nostalgia?
No, it's not. It's not.
Part of you is still there now.
I think they upped their game or something because we were very reticent to get Ryder. I'm not promoting McDonald's right now, I promise you. I'm just saying I tried one of their Chicken McNuggets that I did remember as a child not enjoying, but then they're much better now. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know what, Matt? Maybe I should give it another shot. I read a really interesting essay about the shape of those McNuggets. Their specific shapes and how they're created. But I'll still try them. Also, Target pulled clown mask from all their stores and from their website, and people started to look at this in a critical, analytical way. They said, "Okay, these reports don't actually have much in common. They're occurring in various parts of the world that are very different from one another. They're often, not every time, but often it appears there's no real law that was broken. It's just someone being creepy. In most cases, amounted to something like, hey, there's a suspicious person or group of people dressed in a way that makes me uncomfortable. And another common trope was that these clowns appear to be, as you said, no menacing people. And in many cases, they were reported as giving chase, although sometimes the victims would change their story and say, I thought this clown was going to chase me. It was just standing there.
But there's a ton of YouTube prank videos.
Yeah.
Creepy clowns chasing people.
Mm.
Like, a lot. Like,
and those are for humor, right?
They're for humor, but at the time, I mean, I'm assuming the person featured has to sign a release afterwards or something like that to be featured.
In several of those, the faces of the victims are blurred out.
You're right.
So they didn't get permission. I would just say
that is illegal. That strikes me as illegal.
That is a form of terrorism in a way. If you are going to scare someone out of their wits by dressing up as creepily as you can, setting up a camera, and then chasing somebody while they are in fear for their life.
And some people can see that as humorous, but we have to remember those folks who are being chased or those folks who are being menaced are genuinely frightened. You know, they're terrified.
And I would say if you find that funny, maybe do some reevaluating. That's all.
Well, we can't emphasize this enough. There really were people dressed as clowns, and they really were stalking and, in some cases, attacking folks across the planet. By October 25th, 2016, a little more than 3 years ago exactly now as you're listening to this, news pundits were so deep in this story that they started reporting an alleged, get this, clown-led purge or large-scale attack set to take place on Halloween. What's interesting about this kind of news story is that it really doesn't take much for something to be alleged. It could be an anonymous tip to the news station that has no follow-up. So it could literally be anyone calling. It's incredibly unethical, but it could also be someone from the news station who was like, we need something hot for Saturday. So luckily, there were no documented wide-scale purges. However, on October 31st, Halloween 2016, a family in, you guessed it, Florida was attacked en masse by a group of people dressed as clowns, wearing clown masks. They were attacked by about 20 people.
That's insane. Allegedly, they were checking their car, right? When this happened, it was like 11 p.m. at night. Then all of a sudden, these people show up.
Yeah. Look, you know, we all have a pretty good fortitude stats, you know, if we're D&D characters. We don't scare particularly easy, but even for us, getting run up on by 20 people dressed as clowns, that's a lot. That's a lot, especially if they are armed with blades or with, you know, blunt objects or, God forbid, guns.
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the people – okay, so let's just talk about that. It was a group of people in a car. I think it was five people in a car, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, hit something in the car, right? They're in their truck. They're in this big truck. They hit something in the truck. They got out to check out what it was. They got as they exited their vehicle to check on everything, they get attacked by a bunch of people wearing masks. Some of them clown masks. Some of them appear to be what they would call purge masks. Ooh. One of the victims got stabbed in the head, and another one got hit in the head with a hockey stick.
Jeez.
It was a real brutal attack. This is just an awful thing that occurred. And apparently one of the victims, one of the people who got attacked, recognized some teen that was a part of the group.
Right, yeah. Jeff Brown, who is one of the victims, said that the group of clowns had a knife, hockey sticks, clubs, bats, and he said they were probably just looking for anyone who would get stopped at the light, and he said that he was able to lift one of the masks of a teen off in the struggle and recognize the kid as a kid from his neighborhood. As far as we know, no arrests were made, at least at the time of the story's reporting. So we don't know what happened with that, but we bring this example here to emphasize that unlike some other outbreaks of hysteria or global panics, there were genuine crimes happening here. There were people conspiring to dress up as clowns and attack. Maybe random people, maybe people that they had their eye on for one reason or another. So these sightings were real, but what exactly was happening? We'll attempt to answer that after a word from our sponsors.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so I'll say it. I'll take the bullet on this one. Was this actually some sort of, I can't believe I'm saying this, clown conspiracy to upset the status quo in some way through random acts of violence?
Yeah, like a Project Mayhem type thing, but with clowns? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, was this perhaps some sort of Juggalo-esque protest? Again, as far as we know, the Juggalo community was not involved with this panic. But you know what I mean? Like, was it some sort of thing that got spun into a different narrative by the media? Or was this just another example of mass hysteria like the Satanic Panic? You know, like as we learned in our recent True Detective episode, which is still either my least or my most favorite title recently. As we learn there, there's often more to the story than we see reported in the news. To answer our question about this phenomenon, it's actually best for us to begin from a folklore angle. There's a guy named Benjamin Radford, Go Benz, who is the author of a book called Bad Clowns. And in his work, Radford busts some myths that we have about clowning in the modern day. Specifically, he writes, "It is misleading to ask when clowns turned bad. They were never really good." Because although the word chorophobia comes about in the 90s, the thing is, clowns have been around forever in myth and folklore in unrelated cultures. People who had never met before, they had things like clowns, but they were often antagonistic. They were deceivers. They were tricksters. They were associated with entering the edge of civilization, speaking hidden truths. They were associated with infernal powers at times. And let's also consider Alex Pentland, who's author of a book called Social Physics, How Good Ideas Spread. He says the clown phenomenon is in some ways, just a standard craze. He compares it actually to planking. You guys remember planking?
Yeah, that's when you just lay flat on a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and I walked in our old office one time. I walked into our rec room, and I learned about planking because, as at least as an exercise, because I saw about 15 or more of our colleagues not speaking, just laying on the floor, propped on their elbows, and I didn't know what to do. But I stood there for a second. No one said anything. No one looked at me. And so I decided the most prudent move was to walk out backwards, and yeah, that's what I did.
Definitely keep an eye on everyone.
There was a flash mob type phenomenon for a while where people would like plank on different things, like a cabinet or something, and you'd walk in. There was an episode of The Office about it.
Mm.
That's all I got on planking.
Well, yeah, but it just speaks to a larger thing. When it's kind of what I was saying earlier, when there's a trending phenomena like that, it is in our nature to want to be a part of the group and, mm-hmm, you know, glom onto it in a way, or show your uniqueness by doing this thing in a way that only you would do or could do. We're just basically comparing that, and it's kind of what Pentland is doing here, saying that this is what the clown thing was. It was another ice bucket challenge.
Right, right. But he also said this fad – this clown sighting craze also hit upon a deeply buried cultural meme. He said children are scared of clowns, so this gives it more virality than another thing like an ice bucket challenge. More people are probably terrified of clowns than are of ice buckets.
Did you hear that the ice bucket challenge, there's a conspiracy theory about it?
I did. Yeah. What is it?
I think it was just this one kind of fringy writer, Selena Owens, on WorldNet Daily, accusing it of being some sort of satanic ritual, tricking people into, I don't know exactly what the logic is there, but you can call anything. Any of these viral phenomenon could be construed as some sort of mass ritual, right? I mean, that's sort of what it is. It's people glom onto it and they recreate it, like the flash mobs versus the creepy clowns versus the planking, any of that kind of stuff. You could look at as some sort of weird collective unconscious kind of like dance, right? I don't know.
Anything can be a ritual, and anything could be a satanic ritual, you know, if you have the right attitude about it. Isn't magic all about intentionality?
In theory.
That's a callback to what was that? Our magic debate on Harmontown.
Yeah.
So with this in mind, when we look at it from a folkloric perspective, we see another salient point also from The Guardian. Again, they cover this like four or five different times. And they said they also attributed part of the panic to the ways in which it was described by print and broadcast media. They said, consider how charged the vocabulary of the reports will be when you hear this on your evening news. They don't say someone saw a clown. They refer to these things as sightings.
Yeah.
The same way you would say someone sighted, there was a UFO sighting or a Loch Ness sighting. And it mythologizes these human beings when really they're just people in costumes.
Yeah, and they can do it wherever they want as long as they're not hurting anybody.
Mm-hmm. And then the idea – okay, so the Mirror over in the UK reports this – you know, in the early days of the panic spreading to the United Kingdom, they say, quote, in one of their headlines, creepy clowns approach girls walking to school in terrifying UK craze. This was a variant of the first sentence in the article, because the first sentence in the article in the Mirror says, two schoolgirls were approached by two creepy clowns yesterday as the terrifying American craze hits the UK. It's true that it was already a, quote, American craze, but the headline calling it a terrifying UK craze wasn't true because there had only been a couple of incidents.
Yeah.
How many incidents make a craze, right? Like when does a hill become a mountain kind of question?
Mm. Right after it's a molehill.
Right.
It goes straight from molehill to mountain.
And what's the size of a heap? You know what I mean?
We talked about that before.
Yeah, there's linguistic ambiguity there, but it also could be kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy to call this thing a craze before it happens. I mean, you know, if Paul, Mission Control, Deccan, and I go to Applebee's after this, and then we start calling it the new Applebee's craze that's sweeping the nation, would more people be likely to go because they want to your point, Matt, be part of the conversation?
I think you're right. I think you might have to add in a few more people. If you got like five posts that said the new Applebee's craze, I think you got something going there.
Not an advertisement for Applebee's, right? Nor McDonald's. Nor McDonald's. But in this case, what we see very quickly is the clown stuff itself is exactly as we described it, sort of a viral phenomenon that, to your point, Noel, people glommed onto, sometimes to assist in the execution of crimes they were already probably planning to do. In other cases, it was people who said, we want to prank some folks. But when we look into the psychological causes, the socio-political environment and soil in which this thing exists and grows, then we see there's more to the story. We've talked about this before, and this is probably just my own crippling cynicism. But anytime I see something that is not terrible go viral, I assume that it's being pushed to cover up some real horrific, terrible thing happening.
I don't think you're far off, Ben.
You don't think so?
No. Although it is hard to predict virality, I will say that. So,
yeah.
You know, the intentions, it may be that, but it's like no one can guarantee a viral smash. Otherwise, you know, they'd be hiring those people left and right.
So I've got a theory about this whole thing that I want to present to you guys.
All right. Lay it on me.
Okay. Here are the facts of Matt's theory.
Can we call this section Matt's Facts?
Yes, sure. These are Matt's facts. So we've got the Gags the Clown incident that occurs, when is it? Is it October or is it September 2016? 2016, though, right?
The first one occurs in Green Bay, Wisconsin, August 1st, 2016.
So that's early August 2016. Then almost a year and a month later, the remake of Stephen King's It comes out, a major Hollywood production with massive marketing arms behind it. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It would be beneficial for the people making it to reignite people's fear of clowns.
Well, you know about the phony clown protest, right?
The phony clown protest.
It was phony. According to Vanity Fair, a clown rally against the It movie was actually a publicity stunt for the It movie. The new It adaptation has reportedly been causing some problems for real-life clowns whose businesses have allegedly suffered as a whole new generation of kids sour to bozos of the world. So it was hardly surprised when clowns planned to gather and rally against It in New York. It turns out, however, that the rally was a fake, nothing more than a publicity stunt in promotion of the very movie it claimed to be raging against.
See, so this is what I'm saying, you guys. What if this entire thing, starting with Gags and the short film or whatever was occurring there, was all a way to get clowns back into our zeitgeist immediately, at the forefront of our minds, so that it would come out and we would have to go see it?
That's interesting. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't know if I'm 100% on board with it, because it feels like when real acts of violence started to occur, the company or studio involved would want to distance themselves.
Well, that's why they never admitted to doing it. That's why they never admitted to starting the whole craze, see?
Okay, so they're on a we didn't start the fire.
Yeah, kind of they went, uh-oh, somebody got stabbed in the head. We're out.
We're out. Nobody say anything until the trailer releases. I mean, maybe, perhaps. I will say, though, because I know I'm sounding a bit conspiratorial here, and it is just my opinion, I will say that now more than ever, to steal the line from Fox News yet again, it is now more than ever, it is surprisingly easy for some people to influence virality and to determine which stories are seen. If anyone listening believes that Mark Zuckerberg cannot literally ping someone at Facebook and say, kill this story and promote this one, then you are being offensively naive. Like that, because there's so few people who control the faucets of information at this point, then clearly it could happen. I'm not saying it does. I'm not saying this is a case in which that occurs, but I'm saying the reality is there. And to think otherwise is at this point to be willfully ignorant of the reality.
Yeah. No, I would agree. There are a lot of levers to be pulled within the realms of social media and places where you can post things and then have them become viral.
Or what if you're right and you're even more right than the original theory? What if this all, dating back to 2016, arguably 2013, was just one long viral lead up to the Joaquin Phoenix Joker film?
Or maybe there's clown film collusion. Mm-hmm. Maybe all of the studios that have on their slates of content, clown content, they've all gotten together to perpetrate this conspiracy against the American public.
CFC, clown film collusion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was Stephen King himself in the gags, the clown costume.
Now, he doesn't leave his manor.
Oh, okay. And, then it was Joe Hill himself.
And it's tough to tell the difference, you know, if you just saw those guys walking down the street. Joe Hill does look like a young Stephen King.
Does he really?
Yes.
I've never seen him. I've never seen him physically. Yeah,
very, very much so.
That's unfortunate.
What?
Stephen King's a funny looking dude. Always has been. You don't think so?
What a handsome devil, Stephen King.
You're kidding me.
I think
Stephen King himself would acknowledge that he's a funny looking dude. Have you seen Creepshow where he plays the weird redneck guy?
Yeah. But I think he tells great stories.
Oh, 100%. Shout out to Rob Schraub, by the way.
Rob Schraub. Yeah,
that's right. Shout out to Rob.
I just got a free trial to Shudder.
Oh, it's great.
Just so I can watch. Creepshow. And I'm very much excited to do so.
Report back if you can. Let us know what you think when you see it.
I will indeed.
This leads us to a question that we can't really answer today. A couple of questions. And one of them is this. Does the access to ubiquitous information give us more of an ability to think critically about things? Or does it give us more of an opportunity to spread and transmit our own fears to other populations?
Well, it's both, right? Depends on how you use it and how you handle it, how you comport yourself in this our internet age.
And which of those two, I agree, which of those two do we see happening more often?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it's the latter, right?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. But we still have hope for the future, right? And we know that outbreaks of widespread public hysteria are surprisingly common in the historical record. We've got this great book about it that I lug around sometimes. And if this odd story about the great clown panic of 2016, as The Guardian called it, if this odd story leads us to anything, it's one crucial question. What new panic looms on the horizon? Is it going to be something about birds? I'm sorry, Noel. I had to put that in there.
Have you ever seen the movie Birdemic?
Birdemic?
Yeah. Birdemic. It's like a really bad B movie about like a bird panic situation. It's my personal hell. But unfortunately, it's so laughably made that it's not scary or anything. But yeah, no, birds are bad news, guys.
Well, here's the deal. You may be listening to this right now on the eve of Halloween, mm-hmm. or the eve of Hallows, mm-hmm. All Hallows Eve. And maybe you've got your headphones in and you're walking around. Maybe it's nighttime. Maybe you're trick-or-treating. I don't know if any of you are actually trick-or-treating while listening to this.
But. It's so lame that people look askance at you if you do that as an adult. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, I have a kid, so I get a pass, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I'm question, though. If Halloween is All Hallows Eve, is the next day All Hallows Day?
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Logically.
Yeah, logically. Yeah. But no one really talks about that.
That's not as fun.
I guess Samhain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, we want to hear from you. Do you think there was anything more to this story? Do you think it was just a public outbreak of panic? Was it more like an escape hatch or event for underlying anxieties and fears? And if so, what were those anxieties and fears? Also, this is just a personal note. Don't feel obligated. But if you have a kick-ass Halloween costume, we'd love to see it. go ahead and feel free to post it on our community page. Here's Where It Gets Crazy, some of the best mods in the business, or post it to us on Instagram or Twitter. We are some derivation of Conspiracy Stuff on all three of those.
Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram. If you want to call us while you're out doing whatever it is you are doing on All Hallows Eve, that could be fun. Give us a call. We are 1-833-STDWYTK. Leave a message and we will hear it. If you don't want to do any of that stuff and you have something you want to talk to us about or say, send us a good old-fashioned email. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the recent history of documentary filmmaking, one scene stands out above all. The hot mic bathroom confession of Robert Durst in The Jinx. Now the person responsible for that moment, Sareb Kaufman, stepson of the victim, friend of the murderer, star of the documentary, for the first time ever, shares why he believes you're watching the furthest thing from the truth on this exclusive episode of Murder Homes. Listen to Murder Homes on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, starting May 6th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.